My week has been one of great battle. Great battle. And I know it's probably because of this message today. I shared with the people on Wednesday night that on Monday, Sunday afternoon, Monday, going up to Tuesday morning, I was just in a real spiritual funk. I mean, I was battling stuff, and I didn't know what that stuff was, but I knew it wasn't from God. And as I was studying and getting ready and prepared for this week, and I went over and met with my mentor pastor, and of course his wife is always, you know, she knows I'm coming over, so she gets herself ready, and she goes out, and she does stuff, and she was getting ready to leave, and I said, no, not yet. I said, would you do me a favor? And they said, what? And I said, would you please pray over me? I said, I just need release from this funk. I need to just to be about the Word of God and rightly dividing it and doing it in such a way that it's edifying to the church and yet it's true to the words of God. And so they obediently just came around me, prayed over me, and praise God, the funk was lifted. Okay? That lasted for a couple of days. And so I've been doing battle all this week, folks, and I honestly believe that it has to do with the message that we're dealing with today. Because this is an in-your-face type of message. And don't kill the messenger. I'm only bringing to you what Paul has written out of the book of Colossians. And just for a reminder, it's common practice in Paul's writings that he gives an introduction, you know, kind of verifies who he is, who the writer of this letter is, and then he makes some kind of connection with the recipients of his writing. And then after he makes that connection, then he delves into some theological teaching about a topic that he has been apprised of that they might be wrestling with. Then after laying out the theology, he brings a theology into personal application. And you can always tell in Paul's letters when theology switches to personal application because he introduces this word in his writings. And it's the title of today's message, therefore. When you see therefore, you got to look at what Paul just got done saying to understand what it's all there for. Right? Preceding the teaching scriptures for today, Paul has just declared, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So to appear with him in glory, we have to go to the application portion of the scripture, and that's Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Now, the whole book, the thesis of the whole book is what? What statement? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And please understand, that's what Paul's got in mind as he's writing this book. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So, here's the therefore. Read with me, if you would, please, because there is power in reading God's word aloud. Because we're not fighting flesh battles. We're fighting battles of the Spirit. Amen? And yet we have been given victory. People, we have victory. Amen? Therefore, put to death whatever in you is worldly. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. Paul kind of puts together a compilation of things here, doesn't he? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. All of these interrelate to each other, right? Because if I'm in a relationship with somebody and yet I see something that to me looks, you know, hot and I go flirtatiously after that, I'm greedy, aren't I? And I'm lusting by looking at that other person. I know that I used to have a lot of firemen. We had this very wise saying amongst us, and that we all have our roast beef at home, but doesn't mean that we don't go to the meat market and look at the other cuts. And that just seems so wrong to me, because it's what you put into your eyes that goes into your mind that then you begin to lust after, you begin to desire, and all of a sudden the cut of roast beef that you've got at home doesn't look as great as that pork loin that you saw, right? I'm speaking in an analogy here, okay? So what you have combined yourself with, you stay with. This is what God has given you. And then also notice the warnings. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. How many of us would be ashamed to admit that we once walked in these things? You know, I don't want you to acknowledge it or anything. I just want you to think about it and let the scriptures just kind of speak with you today, because when you walked in these things, you were in the likes of the disobedient to God. I love watching TV ads. Not really. In fact, in my house, when TV ads come on, I usually either flip the channel or I put the mute button on. But one of the things that just gets a lot of laughter out of me is when people have different health conditions and there's a pill that you can take, right, to help you with this condition. However, some of the side effects, right? You may have vomiting or diarrhea, and if you have heart symptoms, you shouldn't take this, and you know, this could cause liver damage, and you know, it could make you go cross-eyed. I mean, they come out with all these warnings. Exactly. That's kind of what Paul is doing here. He is saying, put to death whatever in you is worldly. Because it's a battle that we fight. We have had this worldly influence upon us. And it's been affecting not only the church, but the testimony to unbelievers. Statistics came out about divorce. And it says, you would think that in the church where they teach about marriage and that we should hold it together, hold it in honor, that marriage would be of a lesser percentage. But no, in the church today, 52% end in divorce. It shouldn't be, should it? You know, but we have this worldly influence, the church. We've been shamed into being tolerant of what society accepts rather than sticking up for the Word of God as it pertains to the practice of right relationships between men and women. We've been driven to accept the passions of our lusts as better than the rule for living rather than listening to God, our Creator and the dictator of our relationships. And because of that, the Center for Disease Control, CDC, reports that 110 million people in America today are affected with a sexually transmitted infection. 110 million people in America have a sexually transmitted infection. 20 million new cases are reported each year at a cost of $16 billion in medical expense. Half of those infected are youth from the ages of 15 to 24, or one in four teens. And it results in every year 400,000 births out of wedlock and 8,300 new cases of HIV. Comically, on the Center for Disease Control website, they report that the only 100% effective cure for sexual transmitted infections is abstinence. Right? But if the church supports that stand, we are intolerant of people's choices and people's rights. Right? If we say that same thing, well, guess what, church? We need to be lovingly intolerant. Amen. Notice I said lovingly. We need to be lovingly intolerant. Your first fill-in, the only fill-in that you've got in this whole paper. Paul's warning for believers in the church is do not entertain, and you're going to love this, sloppy agape. Sloppy agape. You want me to write that down for you? Agape is a Greek word for love. Sloppy, we know what that is. You put it together with hamburger and you make sloppy joes, right? Sloppy agape. So the church and believers don't entertain sloppy agape, right? The Colossians are not the only church that Paul addressed with this issue. The church in Ephesus, which is where he was for 3 years. He wrote to them in chapter 5, verses 2 to 6. And he said what? Read this with me. And walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not be heard of among you, as is proper for saints. And coarse and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this, no sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments. For because of these things, God's wrath is coming on the disobedient. Pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? Pretty heavy stuff. You know, we've got to understand that we will always have this battle as long as we are alive. And yeah, when you're older, you know, some of those wants, some of those desires, some of those lusts, they tend to wane and go away, and you gain a bigger control over it. But man, when we're young and we're vital, wow, look out, right? I mean, it just, wah, it's out there. A couple of you mechanics, maybe even some of you women might be able to tell me the answer of this. Why do we use oil filters in our engines? In fact, I'd prefer to hear this from a woman. Why do we use oil filters in our engines? It filters the oil from doing what? Clogging up your engine. Keeping impurities out of it, right? Okay. Why do we use gas filters in our cars? Same thing, right? Keep impurities from going in and infecting our injectors, and or if you drive an older car, your carburetors from getting all clogged up and drained up, then what do we do about our minds? Do we have a filter on our mind? We're supposed to, aren't we? And yet, do we? Well, some days we do, some days we don't. Some days we just kind of indulge and let anything and everything go in those brains, right? Other days we put on the filter and we go, okay, no, it's the Lord's day after all. Let's not be, partaking in anything like that. I have a glass of water, actually a bottle of water. Boy, this is so refreshing, isn't it? I mean, it's nice and pure. It's bottled up and by someone, and I just pray and trust that there aren't any impurities in it because, I mean, it's after all, it looks clean, right? And I put a lot of trust that the water that I drink out of this bottle is clean and pleasant. I took this bottle of very clean water, and I just put a little palmful of dirt from our driveway out here. Just a little bit. And look what it did to the entire bottle. What did it do? Would anybody like a drink from this? Why? Because it's dirty, right? It's got impurities within it. Then why do we accept impurities in our life? Church, we're called to be a holy bride to Christ. We're not to entertain impurities in our lives. We are supposed to filter out the impurities with the Word of God. And as more of the Holy Spirit works in us, this water becomes more and more pure and shareable. It becomes more like this. This, I don't have a problem handing out to other people that I don't know. This, I have a problem handing out to other people. Amen? So as a church, we need to be this. Right? We need to be pure. We need to be clean. We need to be holy as our God is holy. I mean, honestly, Christ is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. I know that it looks like it was really vogue for Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie to have handprints all over her wedding veil and dress and things of the children that they have in this world, that they have adopted. That's not the kind of pure and spotless bride that Christ is coming back for, people. That represents having children before you get married. Wrong order. The order is, and as Paul talks about it in another book, that if you cannot control these urges within you, he encourages you to get married. Man to a woman. May I say that again? Man to a woman. Not a woman to a woman, not a man to a man. That is an abomination, a bit of abomination to God. It goes against what God created. And it's those people telling God, well, you just made a mistake with me because I have these feelings. Folks, it's not about feelings. It's about what you are created as. And guess what? God don't make mistakes. If he made you a man, act in the role of a man. If he made you a woman, act in the role of a woman. we in our society have exploited the excitement of sex. Sex has been around for years and years and years. That's how we all got here. But sex, as it is ordained by God, is between a married man and a married woman together, not married to somebody else, but married to one another. And the whole reason is for them to what? Create children and raise those children in a healthy, balanced home life. Amen? Sex is the most intense spiritual battle in society, always will be, always has been. But society, the people in our world, they've pushed gratifying sexual appetites. We are bombarded with lust. We are bombarded with being, how do you say, voyeuristic? Because television and movies have made us that way. They have pushed on those sexual buttons that God has put in us, but they have caused us to think of them in ways that are out of bounds from what God has ordained for men and women. If you think this subject isn't serious, listen to Jesus' warnings in the last book of the Bible, and in fact, in the last two chapters. First, chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. This is inside on your outline, so if you'd take your outline out and follow along with me and read it with me, please. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying." These are words that Jesus spoke. Do you think it's important to God to have a pure and spotless bride in heaven? It's very important. In fact, in Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8, he says, again, "The victor will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, unbelievers, vile, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Does a church need to be a bunch of prudes? Absolutely not. But do we need to be about being holy? What are we going to present to the world? A compromising church that lets society dictate the rules and the values of what we should be like? Or are we going to be a pure and spotless bride? That's my hope and that's my prayer as well, Michael, is that we as a church would be a pure and spotless bride. And the thing is, you don't think, well, my life is my own. No, your life is a reflection of Mountain Valley Church. And what people see you taking part in out in society is what they're going to think that this whole church accepts. And so you know what that brings? It brings this to mind about Mountain Valley Church of God out in society. Rather than this, it's up to each and every one of us to uphold the pure and spotlessness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, if the statistics don't prove it out, if you won't be afraid of the STIs that are going around in our society, the diseases that have no cure. There are some that do, but there are a lot that don't. If that doesn't scare you enough, then let the truth of God's word and what Jesus says about this type of activity scare you enough to get your body and your mind in check. What filter are you using for your mind? Please, people, please. I'm hoping for a pure and spotless bride that all this world can drink from, that we present Jesus Christ well to our community. Father, as the body of Christ, we pray first and foremost, Lord God, for forgiveness. If we have portrayed this life of Christ as anything but pure and spotless, maybe we just think that God is such a forgiving God that He's just going to forgive everything, but Lord, we read the scripture where it says that those who have washed their robes, in other words, those who are pure, who the blood of Jesus Christ has washed their hearts and their minds, they are invited to the tree of life, which is in heaven. But outside, Your word says, outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the greedy, the evil, the murderers, the sexually immoral. And Lord, we don't make the rules You have. So it's not what society dictates, but rather, Lord God, our lives are to be in line with what Your word says is right behavior for us as Your saints. Again, Lord God, forgive us if we've not been done a good job of representing You. And may we from this day forward walk as the saint that You've called us to be. And Lord God, next Sunday, we want to be that church that reaches out to our community. And we don't want it with just our efforts. Holy Spirit, we need You to be able to go before us to put in the hearts and the minds of the people a curiosity. Because I know there are a lot of people that just sit at home on a Sunday morning. Or they make excuses and say, well, I find God out in the wilderness, or I can find God alone in my own. No. Church is about meeting together with others. There's a greater power and a greater move by You, God. As according to Your word, You say, wherever two or three are gathered in My name, there I am also. And Lord, we want to see You just do wonderful things in this outreach. Bless these people this week, Lord God, to walk according to Your ways. We praise You, Lord God. We give all glory and honor and praise unto Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.